Good afternoon.
Sorry, Nick.
Holy shit.
Oh my god, what was
that? Was loud.
Okay, for the record, that when he plays the fucking how many Drew Carey's music, that's what it is for us.
Oh yeah.
I can
imagine.
That's
how loud it
Jesus
is for us.
Christ.
It's bad.
It's deafening.
Dude, I'm just trying to toughen up your ear holes, man.
It doesn't work. They're not a muscle.
I'm just trying to give you some tough love, man.
It's a membrane. You're doing the opposite. You're damaging it.
It's kind of a muscle.
You're raping his ear holes.
I'm not raping his ear holes. Yeah. I am showing your ear holes
Nick.
Affection
Nick,
is what I'm doing.
What would you say it is, Nick?
You know, I'm just good way to start. Good way to start the podcast, guys.
I'm just loving his ear holes.
Okay,
too
Nick,
much,
is it closer?
Okay?
Is
that's
it,
all it is.
Is it closer to rape or love? What's your opinion?
You know,
love is love, man. Love is love.
I'm not here to judge other
no.
people's ways of
legalize
showing affection.
Man ear love, bro.
I'm part of.
Nambla.
Nibla.
Nibla. Oh no. Nambla?
No,
Nambla.
Yeah, it's ear man love.
I don't know.
That's all.
I don't know how it
Nambla. Dude, how is Nambla a thing? Like, how is that a thing that exists?
Is it really, like, is it a thing that's taken seriously?
Here's my question. How does Nambla have a website and Alex Jones doesn't? Like, why is, like, that considered more of a threat to the world than fucking dudes
the
raping
Nambla.
Little boys?
Yeah.
It tells you how low Alex Jones is, then.
It might.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
Maybe Alex Jones is worse than Nambla or whatever the hell.
Maybe
there's
a conspiracy.
Maybe. Is he the head
maybe.
Of
maybe. And just maybe. Hear me out. They're turning the frogs gay.
Turning the fucking frogs gay.
On a lighter note than boy rape, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Oh my.
It's the 25 days of Wattat Christmas, everyone. If that's work. We don't have a good name for it yet. We are
just 3 years running. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out eventually.
Hey, it took us forever to figure out October.
Yeah,
we figured
out
didn't.
October.
No, we had October down pat pretty quick.
October was pretty good.
No,
it's just that name is
true.
Sitting right in front of you.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the spook.
I just kept
shooting it down, and I.
Oh,
leave.
I shot it down too. Though, but we were. It was a lot. You know, we
it was a
lost
cause.
We were gonna do it.
Here's the deal, Nick. You're in Cincinnati.
Still.
Yeah. Why do you bring this up
has
every
it,
week? It's
has
not
it
news.
Moved?
Here's the thing. So you're in Cincinnati, and we're here on 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. It's an Oreo type of day. We got some Oreos on the table right now.
And,
we're sort of
and plain goldfish.
And plain
which
goldfish.
I am loving, by the way.
We're in one of those
fucking
types
disgusting.
Of moods. Because we just got done watching a, in my opinion, fabulous film. Just a fabulous film. And I got to tell you, Nick, it was the first day in a while where I really wish you were with us because we had an absolute blast watching the movie we're talking about today.
This was a shocker to me. I was like, wow, I can't believe we're having this much fun.
We were having so much goddamn fun, and I do wish you were there.
I mean, I think we briefly said this before we started recording, but I actually had a blast watching this movie.
I know!
No, you didn't. We had a blast watching this movie.
What is it with this movie? What is, like, the power of this movie where it's just, like, it's hypnotic?
Because it's
Nico understands how somebody can watch it 30 days in a row.
I do! So the reason that we're doing this, and, I think Nick
did we
probably
say the name of the movie yet?
No.
A Christmas Prince. A Christmas Prince is yes. what it's called. It's on Netflix streaming right now. I think, Nick, why don't you tell the people why we're doing this movie? Because this was sort of a controversial story last year.
I didn't even know why we were doing this movie.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, no. Well. So, yeah, no, last year, I think it was around this time of year, too, Netflix put out a tweet saying to the 12 people who watched this movie 30 days in a row, who hurt you? And this really creeped a lot of people out with, like, the sort of, you know, the ability that Netflix has to really look into your data and then pass that data along to their social media guy to put out to the world.
Right. and just to, like, make offensive jokes at their expense.
Yeah.
So, however, I kind of think that marketing ploy probably worked in Netflix's favor. I think they sort of subscribed to the all coverage is good coverage kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, here we are a year later talking about this film still.
Well, and I mean, we were talking about it, and we don't see anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, they know what we're watching. That's how Netflix works.
Well, there's a generational thing here. Like, people our age generally don't care that their data and their information is public because we grew up with it.
I was going to say, born
and
into that idea.
We were never led into believing that we had privacy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
which is a terrible thing, but it's true.
Yeah.
We were taught
fact, we're the generation that they always say is like the Snapchat or the YouTube generation of like trying to be famous on the internet kind of thing. I mean, hey, here we are. Look at us.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, everybody our age is looking for clicks on Instagram or all that bullshit, right? So, it's sort of a generational thing. Older people, you know, certainly believe and value privacy a lot more.
Are we the most obnoxious generation?
Every generation is the most obnoxious generation.
It just gets worse.
Yeah, every generation that comes around is the most
significant jump, though.
Well, no, but see, here's the thing, right? I'm sure to other generations we're the most obnoxious, but, like, the generation after us is the most obnoxious.
Fair.
To us.
Fair. Right, yeah, it's always the get off my lawn thing. That's just the nature of getting old.
Mm-hmm. It just, lawn changes between, you know, get off my lawn to, you know, stop touching my computer.
Right.
To stop asking if I have games on my phone. It's just...
Precisely.
We might not be as bad as the hippie generation, though.
Yeah, they were pretty fucking bad, man.
Yeah.
They were really obnoxious and didn't really do much
with
their time at all.
But see, here's the thing. We're doing at least the same amount of drugs. Just different... drugs.
Yeah, we don't talk about
I mean,
it as much.
In defense of them, like, their drugs, like, you know, expanded their horizons, and our drugs just kill people instantly on the streets.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Either that or really help you get your term paper done.
Right. Sure.
One or the other.
But you are right. This ploy here that Netflix attempted on their Twitter page was a fairly large success. And as a result, they immediately ordered a sequel to this movie. The sequel was released a few weeks ago.
It was like
and
the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, A Christmas Prince 2, A Royal Wedding.
I didn't realize there was a sequel until I finished the film.
Right.
Oh,
it popped
up.
But
that's like, another one.
Yeah, that's the thing about this movie, is that you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, I shouldn't be enjoying this, but I'm enjoying this so goddamn much. And then 5 seconds later, Netflix gives you that old countdown clock. We're about to play Royal Wedding 2 or whatever, Christmas Prince 2. And I'm saying to Zach and Adam, I'm like, no, don't let me do it. I just want to sit there and watch more Christmas Prince.
Well, while we were watching it, you said, well, I mean, I get why there's a sequel. And then my face brightens up. I was like, oh, there's a sequel.
Yeah, yeah. Adam got so goddamn happy when Nico said that there was a fucking sequel to this.
I'm so happy that we love this. This movie's fucking awesome. This movie is so awesome.
It's something.
I love everything about it. Oh, man. And by the way, I don't want to get...
Even the bad things about it.
No, this movie is just as good as it is bad.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like that known.
Yes.
But
it's not a quality movie.
Right.
No.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes. I said to them right afterwards, Nick, I'm like, I understand why somebody watched this 30 days in a row.
Yeah.
Like, I totally get it. Like, I understand the need to go back. This is
what I don't understand is why they stopped watching it 30 days in a row.
Right.
Because they must have stopped in between for at least a second.
Right. Fair. I know. Why is this not just playing on a loop over and over and over again? Spectacular. A Christmas Prince. All right, let's... And by the way, do we do the next one at some point?
I think we have to.
Like next week?
Nah, next year.
I'm like, meh, okay.
Oh, I don't know if I can wait a year.
Fuck it. We'll do a Christmas in July thing.
Okay. That's a fantastic idea.
Oh, I don't even think I'll be here.
Yeah.
It's a perfect idea. Y'all should do.
Oh, no. You won't see what happens to these crazy kids. There's hijinks going on at this wedding, Zach, that you're not going to be up to date on.
We got to do it next week, or at least some point.
We need to. We need to do this. Nick, do your best to explain the plot of this as I sit here giggling.
So,
as we sit here, giddy.
We selected this movie. That's a good word for it.
I did. I did say fabulous.
So we selected this movie sort of because we always talked about, you know, hey, why haven't we ever really looked into doing some of these, like, Hallmark-type movies, right? These sort of cheesy rom-com, dime-a-dozen films with the same freaking plot.
But we have to clarify that this technically is not a Hallmark film. Technically.
Yes, it doesn't have their Hallmark brand on it. There's
Here's the thing. Hallmark film now, though, is a genre. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yes.
This is kind of like, you know how like Netflix, their whole goal is to just steal every genre from every network?
Yes.
It's like they took
They're the China of TV.
Yeah, they had Chelsea Handler doing a late night talk show.
And Letterman.
Letterman
was doing one too.
Yeah, Letterman's doing one on there.
Noah McDonald had one.
Yeah, they have prestige dramas and they have romantic comedy. They have everything. This is like the script that Hallmark was pitched, and then Netflix swooped in and like paid them an exorbitant amount of money to say, no, make it for us instead. Yeah. Like, this could have easily been on Hallmark.
Easily.
This would have been, however, the most popular Hallmark movie of the year. This would have been an absolute classic.
Yeah.
See, I think if it was just another Hallmark movie, no one would have really seen it.
And they would have been missing out on something special.
Yes.
They would have been missing out on the best Hallmark movie.
So I grew up with these movies quite a bit, actually. My grandmother, who lived with me for years, would just watch the Hallmark Channel on loop.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this sort of type of movie here is very familiar. Mm. The plot, you know, I mean, long story short, you know, you got your girl, nobody really pays attention to me. You got your guy, oh, he's rich and famous and has 10 boats.
He's a prince.
Yeah,
he's
whatever.
A goddamn prince.
But Adam, I'm not
as
telling
is
you the
title.
Hold on. I'm not telling you the plot of this movie. I'm not telling you the plot of this movie. I'm telling you the plot of all of these movies.
Okay. Oh, I see. Gotcha.
I won't love him, falls in love with him. Mm-hmm. Big misunderstanding. She tries to leave. He finds her. I forgive you. And they get married. Except the only difference here is that this movie takes place in a fictional country called Aldovia.
Aldovia!
Where he is the prince. It is an England. It's basically England. It's England of England.
So we've been trying to figure this out.
Yeah. We spent about 15 minutes trying to figure
it's
out.
England. It's England.
But is it England?
But see, some of them are English.
Right.
Others are not. The architecture is Germanic.
Yeah.
But they have American Christmas traditions.
The country is Germanic, too. It's like,
yeah.
It's like 60% English, 30%
England
German.
Relatively Germanic.
So, what are you telling me that in this universe, England is not a place and Aldovia is?
I mean, they don't specify. It's just somewhere in Europe. But
no, but America is a place. She lives in New York City. That's an actual place where she lives.
Well, it's because it's America. I mean,
right? But again, where is Aldovia though? Is it off the coast of England? Is it
it's in
own,
Europe?
Does it have its own sovereignty?
Is it? He's asking. Is it continental?
Yeah. Like.
Is it
exactly?
So the thing is, I actually looked this up because I'm like, what the fuck is Aldovia? Obviously, there are slews of articles about Aldovia.
What?
There are.
What do
just
you mean?
Google's, I mean, go on Google and type in Aldovia.
Are you telling me Aldovia is a real place?
And no, it's not a real place, but there are slews of articles about this movie and about Aldovia, and they're like, what the hell is Aldovia?
Is Aldovia
so this is
a real
topic.
Country?
My favorite
this
thing,
is a
though,
topic of discussion.
My favorite thing
internet.
is, you know how if you like keep scrolling like halfway down the Google page, it gives you like other questions that people have answered along with... like, what is Aldovia? Mm-hmm. One of them is like, is Geneva a country? Which is Princess Diaries.
Right, and so that's actually one of the things I've read about is how they made mention to how the Princess Diaries did a similar thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aldovia
isn't
an actual country
out.
You can go visit. That doesn't mean you can't surmise where, in general, it's supposed to be in this fictional world.
I think it's supposed to be near, like, Bulgaria. That's
for example, I get the distinct impression it'd be located somewhere in Europe. Granted, that doesn't exactly narrow it down, but hey, it's better than nothing.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a very interesting, like, conclusion. Somewhere in Europe. Yeah, it's pretty obvious that there's somewhere in Europe.
It's on the planet Earth.
Yeah. It's in the Milky Way.
What I really like about it, though, is that the fact that it sort of really implies that Americans give so little shits about European countries that they're able to just lump them all into one.
Right.
And just be like, good enough.
You know, it does feel like a weird, like, sort of amalgamation of many different European places, and we were kind of noticing that while watching it. You know?
Right.
It's not
But I think when you do a movie like this, you can't be like, yeah, it's the Swedish royal family, because then people are going to be like, it's not Sweden.
Fair.
like clearly, right. It's not Sweden.
The thing is, they didn't want to be restricted. The writer here did not want to be restricted by their lack of knowledge of Europe.
Yeah, so they just
and
made up a place.
Kings and queens and all of the royal bullshit. They didn't want to deal with it.
How
so like,
parliament works. What's a prime minister? What's a president?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, they got all of those things wrong.
Right.
All of them.
Yeah, because they had the prime minister, but the royal family are in charge.
If it makes no sense. If you have a prime minister, there's no need for a royal
there's
family.
You're not a monarchy.
And yes, you only have a royal family so you can, like, be on money and, like, televise your weddings.
Like the English royal
like the
family.
English do. Exactly right. We're skipping over a big part, though.
What are we skipping over?
I know. I'd love to talk about continue talking about Aldovia. I'll come back to it.
Well, this is important, too, right? So they spoke perfect English with a British accent. Right. Yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah, true.
Not all. Okay, but like the royal family is the ones that
yes.
I think we should be paying attention to. Because the other people could be from anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's no, you know?
What are you talking about?
I mean, not anywhere.
Like the dude that held the press conference at the beginning of the movie clearly was not English.
Yeah, he wasn't English.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to be. He could be from a different country, moved to Aldovia, is my point.
And
there's
just
no...
got a job with the royal family?
Yeah, well, no, he's just running a press conference. Who cares?
On behalf of the royal family. So
yeah, he's
works
a schlub.
For
Who
the royal
shit?
Family.
No, I don't think you understand how these things work, Zach. I've dealt with press conferences, and I can tell you. Who gives a shit about that guy? He's
Zach,
a schlub.
You ignorant slut.
That's the guy they send on stage to say, go give him the bad news. They don't care.
Yeah, that's Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's who that is.
I'm sure that would be funny if I knew who that was.
Okay.
No, but he was. I don't even think he was the one leading the press conference. He was just the guy telling them, sorry, the prince isn't here. He's probably just a schlub.
Is that his only job? To say the prince is not here?
Yeah, the prince went on another
it's a very,
bender.
It's a very
weekend.
Easy job.
It happens.
It's a very busy job if the prince doesn't do anything.
If you'd have to hire somebody like that, that means the prince is a real asshole.
Yeah.
Frequently.
Or do you think it's just on retainer just in case they decide, you know what, I'm going to go to Italy instead of this press conference? You think he's just always on retainer? He's just always in the background?
He's always banging some Russian model somewhere, this prince, you know?
Okay.
Man.
I just want to rewind to the beginning of this film, because when I heard about the country of Aldovia, that wasn't my first big laugh. My first big laugh was during the opening credits, when rather than playing an actual Christmas song, they played some like royalty free version of Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And it was like the same. You know how like when they have like a like in a sitcom, someone's doing like a boxing training sequence, but they can't afford to get the Rocky music.
Yeah.
So they
so it's
play
like
they
the
do
Rocky.
Da 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 rather than da 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 da. You know, so it's just like it's one note off the entire time so they don't get sued for copyright infringement. That's what they did, but I don't understand why they couldn't afford Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, because they afforded a number of other Christmas songs during the rest of the movie. Yeah. I don't know why they were so dead set on playing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree at the beginning.
Did they write this Christmas song, this knockoff brand Christmas song?
I think they found it on YouTube or something. Mm. Maybe. Yeah, they just found it. It's like, all right, this guy's not going to sue me.
We want to popularize this one song because right. We really like it.
But well, it was exactly the same as Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Well, and they clearly didn't have any issues like clearing brand names.
No.
Because like the Vans were clearly Mercedes. You could see the logo. Mm-hmm. The computer was clearly an Apple. They didn't try to like hide that logo like they do on TV.
Right.
Like they were able to get clearance for stuff.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't clear Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Come on.
So right off the bat, I'm like, yes, we are in for a treat right now. This is going to be
It's
fantastic.
Like in Howard the Duck. When they clearly couldn't clear Prince.
Right.
But they used Prince.
Yeah, so they just used a Prince song at the end of it and just ripped it off for the Howard the Duck song.
Well, I guess I need to watch Howard the Duck, don't I?
No, you don't.
No?
You're good.
No, he does.
Do I?
No, he does. That was fun.
Yeah, you missed, good movie.
Yeah, you missed out on a good one there. So yes, this young journalist. What is her name again?
Amber.
Her real name?
Amber.
Amber Moore.
Yes. Amber Moore. How do you guys remember that? Amber Moore.
I will become very acquainted to Amber Moore over the next 5 years of my life. All right, I will be watching movie a lot.
She's the star from another Netflix show, iZombie.
Oh,
that's where I recognize her.
Yeah, the actress.
That wasn't Netflix though. That was CW.
I think that's a CW.
I thought it was Netflix.
No,
oh,
it's CW.
Whatever.
It's on Netflix. It happens to be on
Netflix.
Everything's
a Netflix show now, right?
It goes on CW, and then nobody watches it, and then it goes to Netflix, and a couple people watch it.
Still airing on CW,
isn't
it?
But nobody watches the CW is the problem.
You have a point. You have a point. She's the main character in that show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Throughout the entire movie, I'm like, I know this chick, but I didn't recognize her because she's not pale as
a zombie
with black eyeliner surrounding her entire eye.
Right.
See, if you didn't see it at the end when they put all the dress on her and all the makeup, that's where it really stood out.
Well, no, that's the part where I'm like, okay, I definitely know her from something. It was because of the eyes. It's because of the fucking dark ass eyeshadow.
What's the plot of iZombie?
I've never seen it.
She's like a detective, isn't she?
No, so she's a zombie, but nobody knows. And she works. I swear, she's a zombie.
But yes,
nobody
but nobody
knows
she's
a zombie. She works at a morgue.
Yes,
and
that was
she eats the brains of the dead.
But like
it's like a vampire who works at a blood donation center.
But then, doesn't she then know how that person died?
Right. So when she eats their brain, she sees their memories and she solves the mystery of who murdered them.
It's fucking stupid.
I love how every procedural drama on network television always has to add the criminal element. It's always yes, he's a serial killer but also a detective.
Wow.
She's
but
an
there's
actress.
There's an army of bad zombies who are killing people. So she's trying to stop them.
See, I didn't know that. I watched the first two episodes and I was like, this is
Man, you've
stupid.
Gone really deep into iZombie.
I've seen five episodes.
Have you seen an episode of The Sopranos yet?
What's that?
My point, exactly.
Is that a Godfather spinoff?
If he ever saw one, it would be the last episode, and he'd be worrying because he can't find the next episode.
Right.
He'd be like, no, they're not just going to end on a cliffhanger. What the fuck?
Why would they do that?
Way to kind of spoil it in a little way.
If people haven't seen The Sopranos by now, they really don't care about The Sopranos.
You ain't never going to see The Sopranos. So she's a journalist, this woman, and she is sent to the fictional...
So she claims.
She's sent to the fictional...
He's using journalist loosely.
Right. She writes for a magazine, and it's just one of those, new age, you got to get the scoop magazines in New York. A lot of hipsters work there.
The most millennial.
It seems like it's just a people magazine.
Well, and apparently they don't write feel-good articles. They only write hit pieces.
They only want hard-hitting journalism at this magazine.
Well, no, but they're only you have to ruin the guy's life. Nothing else.
It's one of those you're standing in line waiting to check out at the grocery store magazine.
A tabloid.
And then the cover would be Prince, not really Prince. and you'd be like, "Ooh, what's this about?" It's like the Inquirer.
Yes,
I'm at Big Y and I pick it up and I go, "What the fuck's Aldovia?"
Yes, scandal in Aldovia. Yeah. Tell me more.
It's the same magazine that published I Married Sasquatch.
Right. Exactly the same level. So she's working for this magazine, and her task is to go to Aldovia to find out exactly what the hell's going on with this line of succession, because the king's dead and now they're trying to figure out who's next in line for the throne. And it turns out that this drunk playboy eccentric.
Is he drunk?
Well, he's a bit of a free spirit. Let's say he's supposed to be the next king, but he doesn't want the job.
And nobody knows if he wants the job because he's not around.
Does
so
it matter?
Where is he? What's going on?
Isn't he just supposed to get it regardless?
Well, no,
he's the next in line.
He can abdicate, which is I don't want it. I surrender my role. Suppose.
So it's very funny how two things. One, it was not hard to find him considering how hard he is to find.
considering he was home.
Right. He's just out in the backyard shooting a target with a bow and arrow, like a fucking 8 8-year-old. Like
she literally bumped into him at the fucking airport.
Yes.
Like where
he stole her cab.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that? Let me ask you something. Was that necessary to include that entire?
No. It wasn't
nonsense. Or
no,
whatever?
It wasn't.
None of this is necessary. But the fact that a prince is traveling without any sort of security, literally the prince of this fucking country, is just
next
stealing,
in line to the throne,
stealing cabs at the airport and riding in coach.
I love the line where he makes the comment about being able to hide because of his beard, because that implies that no one would have had to have known that he had been sporting a beard for the past, like, I don't know, 3 months that the thing was growing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those disguises. Like the guy just wears like a pair of goofy glasses with the nose and mustache.
No, it's like the Marvel "I'm just a civilian" disguise. It's just a ball cap
put
and glasses, and
right.
No one knows that they're fucking Captain America.
But he actually grew that beard, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like that's the point. So
he didn't just like put a fake one.
Yeah, no. So how did you not know that he was growing a fucking beard the whole time?
It's a fair point.
I don't know.
Maybe he just grows facial hair really fast.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like that one scene in Santa Claus when he shaved and it's just full beard.
Exactly.
Maybe them Aldovians.
Well, he is the Christmas prince, after all.
Mm. Yes, he is.
Christmas prince.
So I mean, how about that name? Christmas, so great. Prince, great. Christmas prince, beautiful.
Shit.
You had me at A. No, this movie fucking had me from moment one. Another scene that I loved early on was when we're introduced to our main character's father, who runs this diner in the middle of New York, and they sat down for one of the most generic fatherly advice scenes I've ever seen in my goddamn life. They sit down and she's like, "Hey, Dad, I know I'm gonna leave you alone this Christmas, but I have to go. This story might be my big break.
Chase your dream."
And all he said, and I actually wrote down the exact quote. His one piece of advice is, "Stay true to your dreams."
Yeah.
And that was it. And she's like, "Thanks for the fatherly advice, Dad." It's like, a little more specific, please.
No, you know my biggest issue, though, with that whole relationship? Mm. It's not that he speaks in cliches.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like they're a walking trope. It's that she calls him Pop.
Right.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Why?
Because Pop is like just the old guy who lives next to you who gives you grandfatherly advice. It's not your father.
My dad calls our grandfather Pop. We call him Pop.
But that's weird.
That's a grandfather thing, though.
It's a grandfather. It's not a, "Oh, here's my dad. I call him Pop."
Yeah.
No, that's weird.
That's an issue.
I didn't know you felt so strong. I didn't know you were so.
It fucking.
They said she was from Minnesota, right? Or was that a lie? I don't remember.
The tutor was from Minnesota that she's pretending to be.
It would have made more sense because in Minnesota they call everything Pop. But
No, that's just soda.
Yes.
Oh.
They call everything Pop, like their food and their.
Hey, the Pop is
tradition
running
in Canada. They're very close to the border.
Have a seat on the Pop. Like it's, everything is just called Pop.
It's actually Papa Pop on the Pop.
Yes, I'd like the Pop with a side of Pop, please. Extra Pop. Thank you.
I got you.
More Pops.
We need to talk
except about... Except Popsicles.
What do they call Popsicles?
Popsicles. What else would you call them? Oh, what the fuck's wrong with you?
I love that joke, by the way.
Thanks. Zach and I spent a lot of time preparing this one.
Fucking assholes.
This whole bit.
You shitheads.
We were colluding.
We need to talk about crippled children, by the way.
Hold on. Hold off on the crippled children. We're not there yet. We are not there yet. You ruined the surprise.
Let's get to it. Go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
Well, the moral takeaway from this film is that crippled children are just like any other children.
No, they're not.
Especially when they're filthy rich.
Thanks, film. Wouldn't have done it without you.
So of course, our main character flies out to Aldovia, is unable to get the scoop at this press conference because the prince is MIA. Yes. So she, of course, decides to sneak in the back entrance to the castle with no armed guards whatsoever.
Or as Nico likes to call them, armored guards.
Yeah, he's called them armored guards. The rest of the castle is pristinely secured, and this one is just open to any trespassers. She gets right into the residential area of the castle and then pretends to be the prince's younger sister's
tutor.
Mm-hmm. Math tutor.
Right. Who is evidently 2 weeks early to her scheduled appointment with the princess.
I love how the guy goes, "Oh, you're American. You must be the tutor."
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how about wait and say, "Oh, what's your name?"
Right.
"And why are you here?" Like, how about a little thought?
Another one of my favorite tropes in movies is when they just assume that that's the person that they are. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you ask for their ID? Like, anybody in their right mind would have done that, correct?
Yeah. Or just asked, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
And if she was able to come up with, "I'm the tutor to the princess," then let her in.
Yeah.
You're, oh no! I would. You're I would telling love, me that their secret service or whatever doesn't know what the tutor to the princess is supposed to look like. They don't have her information already.
They didn't do a background check to make sure she wasn't on some terrorist watch list.
Yeah. Right.
I know. For all you know, this could be a member of ISIS.
I'm just waiting for one time during one of these movies where they're just like, "Oh, you must be the tutor." "Yeah, that's me." "There's no tutor coming. Who the fuck are you?" And then they throw her out. End of movie. Roll the credits. Let's go home.
Like, yeah. Apparently, this movie takes place pre-Brexit, because they're letting people in and out with no worries whatsoever.
It's a classic.
Well, I think
that's a timely Brexit joke right there.
I think it would be Aldzit.
What?
I don't know. How do you fit Aldovia into Brexit? I don't know.
Way to kill my
joke. You don't anymore.
Nick. Way to kill my joke.
I'm just saying, I don't think Britain's a thing in this world. Yeah. I'm firmly believing in the theory that this is England and there is no England.
Okay. Regardless, immigration, open borders. That's the case there. So when we meet the prince and we find out, "Oh, I'm the one that stole your cab," or whatever, we are then introduced to the young daughter. And the opening line here, was this the best laugh that we had in the whole movie?
Might have been.
It was between that and... I don't want to spoil it, but when she gets lost in the woods.
Yeah, lost in the woods, right. That was a good laugh.
That was my favorite thing in the whole movie. I just want to say that real quick.
All right,
you know,
gotta
just
that
a little
one.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
So the prince just turns to his younger sister, who's on crutches because she suffers from some sort of spinal disease, and yells at her, "My little imp!" and picks her up and starts twirling her around.
Well, here's the,
no, but hold on. Here's the kicker, though. All we hear
kicker,
is...
I get it.
No.
No, all we hear is they say, like, "Oh, Princess Emily," and then she just comes walking in on fucking crutches. Like, there's no warning that she's on crutches.
No, but to add to that, he says, "Hello, my little imp," before they finally cut to her for the first time.
Yeah. Right.
So it's
so
just...
you have a second to take that in. Like, and then, wait, what? Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Like...
Well, she is an imp. Holy shit.
And he starts flinging her around. Like he's going to throw her into walls.
Hitting her legs into things.
I know, like Wolf of Wall Street when they're throwing the midgets around at the dartboard.
Oh, my God.
That's what this was.
And she wasn't, like, injured or anything. She's just, like you know, crippled from birth, I think. Is that the idea?
Yeah, she has, like, some disease.
That she explains when she rolls over to the window.
I'm pretty sure...
So many great things about this movie!
I'm also, you know, fairly sure... So, Aldovia is not a real country. I'm pretty sure her disease was made up as well.
Oh, my God.
I don't know, probably.
Is that right?
I have no evidence to support that, but
that
it's
would
just
not
a hunch.
We need to talk about that wheelchair scene, though. So, Meg, what's her name? What the fuck's her name?
Emma.
No, the tutor.
The tutor's Amber. Name was Marcia, but no. She's really Amber.
Amber, okay. So Amber is having her first tutoring session, pretending to be a tutor, even though she's a magazine journalist, with this little girl. And midway through the conversation, all of a sudden the girl says, "You're wondering why I'm in this wheelchair, aren't you?"
Like, no, I'm not.
And then proceeds to roll the wheelchair right up to the window to sort of stare out of it longingly. But because this movie was so cheaply made, they clearly didn't have the budget to film this in front of a green screen. So they just kept the blinds closed so you couldn't see outside the window. It was clearly just on a soundstage. So they wanted to have their cake and eat it, too. It's like, we're going to look out the window longingly in order to gain sympathy for this little girl, while at the same time not paying any money to look out the window and see what's on the other side.
That's assuming also that we don't have sympathy for her outright because she's crippled.
Right.
Which we kind of don't.
You have to have that scene where she's right. And until she's staring out the window, you don't know that it's getting real.
Well, they actually introduce her as kind of like a mean little brat, right?
She sucks.
She was awful.
Yeah.
Right. And then it was just an immediate 180.
She scares away all of her tutors. And,
yeah.
You know,
we compared her to Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes, we did. Fair. Because she looked like her.
She kind of looks like her. Kind of looks like her, yeah. Right. I just want to bring something up here that was one of my initial reactions to the movie in general. The pacing of this film was interesting.
Pristine.
Mm-hmm. Well, perfect. So as far
symphonic.
As yes, yes, I agree with you.
Symphonic.
Incredible.
As far as the pacing making sense with people's motivations and like logic. Horrible. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Right, like this girl goes from being a fucking horrible brat to suddenly being like very vulnerable and be like, you're wondering why I'm in this wheelchair.
Yeah.
And like right, I mean like
an immediate motivation. Turn.
Right. People's motivation just boom, just 180. But as far as like keeping you into the movie, the pacing was perfect.
Right. I didn't have one down moment.
Well, that's good. It's very well paced. It's just not particularly well written.
Well, yeah. So.
Or well acted or well directed or well shot or anything, really.
I didn't hate the acting. No, I really didn't mind. Fine.
There's a few people.
There,
like, what was his name? Charles and Sophia. Like, they would shit. But, yes.
They were meant to be like, what are the two in High School Musical?
Sharpay and Ryan.
What?
Is that Ashley Tisdale? That... Or no?
No.
No, I'm saying, like, they're, like, acting their whole personalities of being, like, these snobby, conniving little, like, you know what I mean?
Shits.
That's what it reminded me of. It was fucking High School Musical.
Or Mean Girls.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. Same sort of thing.
I love Mean Girls.
Yeah.
It's such a good movie.
So all of a sudden, our journalist is falling deeper down the rabbit hole here.
Yes.
And is keeping up this ruse and now has the entire country of Aldovia believing that she is the tutor to the princess and not someone trying to get the scoop on the latest.
Well, she didn't fool
dramas.
One person.
And who's that?
Emma.
Yeah.
The cripple.
the imp.
The girl she was supposed to be tutoring knew she wasn't the tutor.
Right.
She figured
you're
it out.
You're fucking with... stupid. There's no way.
She figured it out with her heightened senses.
She's like Daredevil. I lost my ability to walk.
You said that so sincerely. That was fucking great. Holy shit.
All right, we need to get to the scene where after they look out the window, they see the prince shooting his bow and arrow at this target. And he's only like 5 feet away from the target.
Like, not even, too. It was stupid.
Like, he's barely playing horseshoes.
Like,
you could
throw an arrow and hit the bullseye. Right? Like, that's how close he was to this fucking target.
So he's working on target practice. The arrows are so limp because he's not putting enough weight into the pull. And of course there's the classic scene of he's missing the bullseye and she's missing the bullseye and all of a sudden the little girl comes up and hits the bullseye right away on the first shot.
Heightened senses.
Heightened senses, it's exactly right.
And abilities.
Maybe she should have been queen, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when we start to realize that these two are falling in love and we're about to watch a love story between a pretend tutor and a prince.
A pretend tutor and a pretend prince.
Right.
Essentially,
good point. Good point.
Let's talk about the acorn, shall we? Let's talk about the nut.
You mean the familial nut?
The nut.
They had to bust.
The old family nut.
We had a ball with that fucking acorn, didn't we?
They literally busted the nut at the end of it all.
Yeah, she just pulled the top off it. I'm sure it goes back together.
As all nuts do.
Well, most nuts. Let's be honest.
So we come to find out that this is actually a relevant plot point.
Yes.
And we are going to revisit the acorn ornament, the obnoxious acorn ornament hanging from the royal Christmas tree.
For the record, I'm 95% convinced that this is the only reason this takes place at Christmas.
Right.
Is they needed some way to introduce this acorn, and they were like, oh, maybe it's a Christmas ornament.
Right.
Because this plot could have been any time of year.
Yes. Well, in particular, this acorn ornament was so obnoxious yeah. and out of the blue. Like, I didn't know what to make of it at first. I'm like, why are they taking time in the middle of this Hallmark movie to focus in on a giant acorn?
Like, so much
hideous ornament.
Like, so much so, but you're like, something's gonna happen.
Yeah, something's up with this fucking ornament. Like, it could not have been more obvious. It's like, why is this thing shaped as an ornament? And why are you putting it on the tree?
Yeah.
What is it with acorns? Whose idea was this?
At the end of it all, why did the plot point that it ends up being, why did it have to be a Christmas ornament to begin with?
It didn't.
Well, no, it didn't, but that's what I'm saying. It could have been anything. And, like, the first thing they thought of was, how do we incorporate this? Maybe it's this, like, gift, and it's a Christmas ornament. Like...
Why an acorn?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because it represents his seed. I thought that was obvious.
Well, actually, you're kind
of
right.
That's not bad.
You're kind of right.
Yeah,
though.
You're not wrong here.
Because at the end of the movie, when the dad is like, remember, failure is the seed of success or something.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Say that.
The king's like.
Yeah, how would you even like put that together with
That's
anything?
What triggers the thought. That's the brain blast moment.
So, yeah. like, obviously, I think it was pretty obvious that there was something inside the acorn. Like, from the first second of the film.
Yeah,
like, okay.
Something was happening with that.
But I didn't know there was going to be something inside of it, but we were like, what's the deal with the acorn? It's got to come up eventually with something.
Well, but then for her to be like,
weapon,
for her to bust in and be like, I know what can prove that he's the rightful heir.
Yeah.
Where do you get that from?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you know what's inside the acorn isn't just, like, a family photo of... You know, just
yeah,
him having
like,
when they were younger.
Him having an affair with like a mistress
right.
or something.
Yeah, or it could have been like an embarrassing photo of SpongeBob from the Christmas
at the
party.
Christmas party. Well, hold on.
Who knows?
It's not a secret box with a secret string. I mean, let's be honest. It's
right.
just an acorn. It's a secret acorn, but it's just an acorn.
What if that's where the movie ended? Oh, it's just an acorn ornament. Shit. Shit. All right, we're fucked.
Oh my God! Somebody came in the acorn.
No, the worst thing would be they just never bring up the acorn again. They spend so much time on this fucking acorn, and then they never talk about it.
This movie's That'd be great.
Fucking fantastic. So at this scene, we're introduced to, or I guess earlier on, we're introduced to the evil cousin, who is out for the throne. And is, I guess, by technicality, next in line after the prince to take over the throne. So he really wants the prince to abdicate the throne to him. And we're also introduced to the prince's, I guess, ex-wife or girlfriend or something.
Something.
Some bitch that says that she's in love with the prince, but really she's just out for the throne as well. So she devises this plot with the cousin in order to, you know... take over the throne for themselves. They're going to get married, but it's not going to be like an actual romantic marriage. And so these two are just looming throughout the thing, doing evil things throughout the movie.
Doing
evil!
Evil!
Another great moment.
It's two SpongeBob references in a row.
I want to point
this out. We never talked about how our boy, the creator of SpongeBob, passed away recently, so.
Oh, yeah, we never paid tribute to Steven Hillenburg, did we?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, what? Well, I told this story on the other podcast.
Oh, did you?
I did. Do you know what our trivia name was a couple weeks ago?
Like
Nick?
2 days after he died.
Yeah, it was literally.
Oh, God.
Our team trivia name at trivia night was Absorbent and Yellow and Porous Is He, Steven Hillenburg's Corpse.
Oh, God.
It was like 2 days after he died.
Whoa.
And when Nico told me that, I couldn't stop laughing. Like,
and the whole bar fucking just groaned.
And we went in the bar, yeah. Oh, when the announcer like read the name, everyone who was playing went,
aww. Meanwhile, Zach and I are crying laughing. We're the only two ones in the whole place just crying.
Needless
laughing.
To say, they knew which team we were.
That's the best name I've ever heard.
Oh, it's fucking great. Yep. Anyway, back to Christmas Prince.
This is my second favorite scene in the movie. So the girl is taking notes for her article. She's jotting down.
Yeah.
We're
going to
talk about
this. This is what happened with the princess. This is what's going on with the evil cousin. And she's jotting all of this shit down on her laptop. And we get a close-up of this note-taking session at first. And it shows a bunch of bullet points with some questions. And it's on the application pages. Which is like a Mac thing that no self-respecting journalist would ever use.
Yeah, it's their word processing.
Right. No one would ever fucking use pages. So I thought to myself, wow, it's kind of weird that this chick is using pages for her notes. Smash cut to a different angle of the laptop, and we see the exact same notes on fucking Microsoft Word. What the hell is going on there?
Nico freaked out.
Nico.
Rewound it.
I had to make sure I saw that right. Oh. I'm like, what is happening?
Nico.
We got a close up in a one shot, and then the two shot shows the fucking Microsoft Word document. What's going on here?
Nico, that's what you call a continuity error?
It's more than a continuity error. It's insanity. It's absolute craziness. So, like, clearly, they shot the thing on Microsoft Word. They realized, oh, shit, we don't have a close-up for the document. I'm just going to screenshot my laptop real quick, but I don't have Microsoft Word downloaded. So I'm just going to do it on pages.
Yep.
This movie is so cheap. I love it.
I think that's brilliant, personally.
Brilliant.
What I think that is I think that is an opportunity for two sponsorships, not one.
Ah, right. That's a fair point.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And you just hide your sponsorships and continuity errors because who cares, right?
These are product placement geniuses right here.
Right, right.
Well, and that's what we were saying. They managed to clear Pages and Microsoft Word.
Right.
Still couldn't get Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Zach, do you have any idea how hard it is to get Rocking Around the Christmas Tree? That is a hot commodity.
I'm pretty sure that's in public domain.
So don't use Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Then just don't use it.
Yeah.
Just use a song you can get.
I think it's better because they didn't use it, because it's that much more bizarre.
Just play Jingle Bell Rock at the beginning. It's okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you can get. Anyway.
Maybe, baby, it's cold outside. Who knows?
Oh, no, too soon. Can't do that.
Oh, no, actually, that. Boys, I have a Christmas miracle for you.
Oh, did you hear it on the radio?
Did you hear it's back?
No!
It's back.
Yes!
A true Christmas miracle. So what happened here, right? So we talked about this last week in Cleveland.
Didn't, Dean Martin's, daughter basically say
it was the writer of the song.
Oh.
Here's what happened, though. So in Cleveland, they banned the song, right? And then some other radio stations followed suit. Well, in I believe it was San Francisco, or I think it was out in California in San Francisco. They banned the song, and then they put out a poll to all of their listeners, and overwhelmingly their listeners were like, put it back.
Yes. Well, because it's like one of the most popular Christmas songs.
I love the American people.
So it's back.
I still haven't heard it on our local radio station this year.
Well,
and you guys know me. I listen to that
joke.
I listen to that radio station exclusively at this time of year.
And no, baby, it's cold outside.
And
yet.
No, I've yet to hear baby, it's cold outside.
It's such a dumb.
Well, we're not going to name any names, but if only our local radio station would put on Why Is This a Thing, maybe it would be worth something. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Sure.
But this is the. I just want to say one last thing about this because. Baby, It's Cold Outside, I think, is the official first person to come back from the Me Too movement.
Oh.
Not Chris
I think
Hardwick?
It might be.
Chris Hardwick came back.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Mm.
Chris Hardwick.
So we have Chris Hardwick and Baby, It's Cold Outside.
And Louis is stopping off at some comedy sellers.
Oh, Louis
right?
Nowhere where he was.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't give yourself too much credit.
Louis's back on the stand-up circuit, I think.
Although people aren't happy about that.
Yeah.
No. He's getting heckled.
Yeah.
There was this one chick who was in the audience at one of his shows that just yelled, take your cock out in the middle of his show.
Did he do it?
He did not take his cock out.
I bet you he was tempted to.
Well, there was – at the Comedy Cellar in New York – is it New York,
New
right?
York, yeah.
So I guess he would – over the past few months, he came in and did surprise 15-minute sets. And the owner of the Comedy Cellar was getting requests for people's money back. Because they're no, we came to see this guy, not Louis C.K., who we no longer will and no longer want to support because of what he did.
Yeah.
But, you're paying for the Comedy Cellar.
Right.
like
you have to expect that
somebody's somebody's going to stop in, whether you want them to or not. That's a part of going to the famous Comedy Cellar.
Right. Yeah, but you have to understand that people suck.
People do fucking suck.
Yeah. So.
My favorite thing is when, like, Slate or something, one of those, like, stupid blogs, wrote an article, like, an interview with the hero that heckled Louis C.K. It's like, that's the bar for hero now?
Yeah.
Like, are you, like, not like firefighters?
Better known by his stage name, Louis C.K. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did, Alexa. Thank you.
I love that thing.
I'm not sure.
No, I'm just...
That's the greatest thing ever.
Fucking, yeah, Alexa. I don't know. It's just like the bar for hero now is so low. It's like we're not... Soldiers, they're not heroes anymore. Guys that pulled puppies out of wells, not heroes anymore. Martin Luther King, not a hero anymore.
Well, okay, hold on.
No. No, it's the fucking woman that yells, "Take your cock out" at a comedy show. Yeah, that's hero now.
Pathetic.
So stupid.
And anyway. The interviewer, "Why'd you yell that?" "I wanted to see his cock."
Yeah, no, she just really likes Louis.
What's the controversy? I don't get it.
Yeah. I'm about all the people you're supporting. What people? What are you talking about? I just want to see his dick. I'm confused.
I just felt like running.
Man, I miss Louis, man. I miss Louis.
Yes, I did that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Back to
where
this
were
movie.
We?
Yes.
You want to talk about the festival in the middle of the town, Nick?
What was that?
What are you talking about?
In the movie.
For the orphanage. Movie.
With the orphanage.
That, yeah, I was going to say, was that a festival? I thought it was like a... I thought it was just, it was something. You know, something for the orphanage.
Yeah, it was like a... Like an event because they like raised money for the orphanage or something like that.
Okay, whatever.
It happened to take place during like the Christmas festival, sure, but.
So we get all this backstory that the prince doesn't show up for his responsibilities, is always in hiding, and so yet again they need the prince to kick off the ceremony and they can't find him, and so it's like, oh great, that prince is probably going fucking some broad at the local, you know,
exact
wherever.
Words that are used by the way,
buddy.
But lo and behold, they find him having a little snowball fight with a bunch of orphans.
Literally the most selfless act. He's making these orphans happy.
Yes.
So the
and like not
led,
in the presence
to believe
of
this
press.
Whole,
like
right,
he's
we're led
just
to
doing
this whole time that he's like some playboy, like you know. And the reality is, like he's not doing any of that ever.
Right. He's just like a really good guy.
That being said, I was a little put off when he's like, "I want you guys to pretend that you're a firing squad."
Listen, hey.
For the snowman.
I don't care.
Because the snowman committed high treason.
So we gotta shoot him.
He had reason. And then they assaulted the prince, which is treason. I'd like that known.
When did you become the fun police? Adam.
I'm just saying it's a little weird that they want to pretend to be a firing squad. I don't care if they're throwing snowballs.
You didn't want to be a firing squad when you were a 12-year-old orphan?
Well, you know I always wanted to be a firing squad.
But... Hold on. I like when how he added when you were a 12-year-old orphan.
That's true. You weren't supposed to tell them that, Nick. Jesus Christ.
I have the adoption paper right here.
It was hidden in a desk.
Why do you have the adoption papers, Nico? Why do you? Anyway.
Did you guys enjoy the foreshadowing of him hanging out with orphans only to find out that he himself, as the prince, was adopted?
I enjoyed every bit of this movie. So, yes. So
this is
that
perfect
being
film.
That being a part of the movie means I enjoyed it quite a bit. Yes, by definition.
Thank you for clarifying your stance
like
on
that.
The film.
Yeah, that was nice.
What comes next? Is it the sled scene?
Well, I came next.
Ah,
ayo.
Ah.
Okay, so this
is
when
do the sled scene.
Yeah,
the toboggan.
Great.
This is when, in my opinion. The movie kicks up another gear.
Yes.
It's when the fucking horses are involved. All right. The second a fucking horse is introduced to this, they couldn't fit it in the budget to get Microsoft Word for a laptop, but they could get it in the budget to have multiple horses galloping up and down a hillside in the middle of the snow.
That is strange because you can torrent Microsoft Word. You can't torrent a horse.
Right.
That is
indeed
Well, that's
true.
Just stealing a horse.
Right.
Grand Theft, nay. yourself.
Grand Theft Pony.
So all of a sudden, there's horses at this thing, and the little girl and her tutor, quote unquote, are going sledding and having a good time and falling off the sled. And here's the prince galloping on his steed right behind them.
This black steed.
Because that's
gorgeous
what he
does. Horse, I'd
yes.
like to point out.
Yes, that's what beautiful he does horse. In the middle of the winter. He just takes the horse with him as he continues to, like, in a snowball fight with the girls.
Yeah, it's a mountainous region. He needs his horse.
Yeah, but the horse is just hanging out.
I love how it literally runs away as they're right. doing the snowball
and then, like,
fight.
The next scene, it's just hanging out by a tree.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, this is my tree.
That's a good horse.
Whenever I'm lost, I come to this tree.
So again, they come really close to
my
making out.
Will find me.
And exactly. And then
it's a predetermined area. It's a predetermined tree. Okay, horse. If you ever get lost, I'll meet you back at this tree. It's like when you go to like compounds when you were younger.
Yeah. Or you're at the mall with your parents.
Yeah,
right?
And your parents are like, okay, if you get lost, go to Boulder Dash.
Right.
I will meet you at Boulder Dash.
With this movie, you got to be more dramatic than that. Like, go to this spot. I will find you, horse.
Yes.
I will be there for you, horse.
So,
plot twist, the horse is just chipped.
The horse is gay.
What'd you say?
The horse is gay.
To each his own, I mean. It's their business. It's not mine.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. My father's a horse.
My father's a horse. My father is Boulder Dash.
Yeah. My dad does attract male horses.
Okay.
Haven't I told you this story before?
Pause.
This is a real thing.
Time out on the movie. Nicholas, explain.
I'm very confused.
Every single time that I've been with my father near a male horse, it gets erect.
I have a question.
It's a fact.
I have a question. How large is your sample size? How many male horses have you been around while also being around your father?
Several times. I could say probably 4 to 5 times.
Wow. That's a lot of horses.
That's a good. That's that's enough to be yes, my father.
Including
makes
one time at
horny.
The Big E. Because several horses.
Ew. Wow. Yeah, I think you can publish this as a scientific study.
Yes.
I think like that is enough research.
I don't know if it's his smell or his face or
what makes his dad
his smell and his face. Yeah.
I guess he looks like a little lady horse.
A little,
you know.
A little
or,
lady
or
horse.
A male horse. I mean, again, like we said,
we don't judge.
It's not my business.
Not there's nothing business. Wrong with that.
Yeah. He looks like something that a horse wants to fuck.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know.
My dad makes horses horny. It's something a horse wants to fuck.
Whatever that is their business, but that's what he looks like. Mm.
So there's this other scene. The prince is doing his equestrian thing. He's riding around.
Good use of the word equestrian.
Yeah, I think he checks out his father's grave or something. And
he digs up his father's corpse.
Right.
Just to make sure it's still there.
Brings him back to life.
He's like,
yep,
still dead.
There.
Okay, perfect.
As is tradition in Aldovia.
And our journalist decides to follow him on her own horse, which is pretty nuts.
That she manages to saddle herself, get on herself, get it out into the woods by herself.
It's like,
I
bitch,
mean,
you're
she
from
stole
Brooklyn.
A horse.
When did you learn how to ride a horse?
No, but then couldn't turn it around.
Yes. Well, and can I comment on the scene coming up? Because this was my epiphany when we were watching it. I'm very proud of
this
moment.
Yes, I want you to mention what you said once she fell off the horse.
So she falls off the horse and the scene kind of changes to kind of this dark and gloomy snowy landscape in the woods that she's in. And out loud, I say, oh my God, I hope she gets eaten by wolves.
Yes.
God, I hope this turns into The Gray. She gets eaten by wolves.
And
please,
then,
it's a classic just like Adam is being morbidly funny line.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like a random thing that Adam throws out because he's a psychopath.
Yes. Now, I have a quick question. What happened 5 seconds later?
Here's what happens. We see a little shape fly by the screen.
Yes.
Right. And we're like, oh my God, is this really going to happen?
Yes. And what was that shape?
That shape, guys, was a fucking wolf. Because the next shot, she's staring at this. The camera pans over. There's a goddamn wolf in the woods
there's
with
a fucking
her.
Wolf.
In fact, there are multiple wolves.
There's wolves. More than one wolf.
It's literally The Gray. It's literally that movie. It, it,
she, she proceeds to turn and punch glass and then use that glass as a weapon to fend off the wolves single-handedly.
That would have been great.
That would have been great.
By the way, do you remember that movie, how it ends?
No.
Okay, so at the end of the
Where he dies?
Right. So, no. So he's ready for a fight, right? He finds himself in the middle of the wolf's den.
Yeah.
And there's wolves surrounding him, and he just breaks the glass and is ready to put up a fight. And they, like, cut immediately after the fight begins. And we saw this movie when it came out, my brother and I, several years ago. About a year or so ago, it's on cable again. And we're watching the movie, and the ending is the same as it was when we first watched it in, like, 2012. And we're like, oh, that movie's great. What we didn't realize is that there's a fucking post-credit sequence to the movie.
It's breathing.
Really?
There's a surprise post-credit sequence I didn't know existed.
I knew that.
He fucking won the fight! Yeah. Liam Neeson survived!
Yeah.
What? He beat the wolves!
Yeah.
Are you serious?
It, like, changed my entire life, this
That's
revelation.
Not surprising.
It's craziness! How did we not know all these years later he didn't die?
I knew that.
He beat like 12 fucking wolves in their home turf in the middle of the woods with no weapons.
Because he's funny. Liam Neeson.
It's so
I did
great.
Not know that either.
It's so amazing.
Yeah, he's like resting. He died. He's like resting his head on the dead wolf.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's just breathing. And he's like, yeah. It's incredible.
Fuck these wolves.
Liam Neeson beat 12 wolves by himself with a broken glass.
That's funny.
It's amazing.
That is fucking funny.
Much better than Leo.
Very true. Yeah, Leo's a pussy compared to Liam.
You think Liam could have taken that bear?
No question. Yeah. No question. By the way, The Gray, an objectively better movie than The Revenant. Objectively better.
I haven't actually seen The Revenant. So.
Yeah, The Revenant kind of sucks.
No, it doesn't suck, but yeah, it could be better.
The Gray's awesome.
Could be better, yeah. Mm.
So yeah, there's a wolf in this romantic Hallmark comedy. There are wolves in this romantic Hallmark comedy.
I was so happy when I saw
and
that.
And just as
Nico and I stood up and applauded.
Yeah, we gave this thing a standing ovation live.
At the wolves.
It's like one of those like midnight screenings of Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like that's
what's
how
wrong with you.
That's we both stood up and started clapping when the wolf
It was
showed
fantastic.
Up.
But I love the build up to it because it starts on a shot of her back and it's slowly panning over to see what she's looking at, and we're like, wolf, wolf,
like, wolf, wolf, wolf,
wolf,
wolf, wolf.
So it was like whenever you guys see boobs, except this time.
Well, now whenever you get, whenever Nico thinks he's about to see boobs in a show, in a movie.
It's also what I do when I watch CNN in the afternoon. I just go, wolf, 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 and then he's there.
That's a good joke. Yeah. That's a good joke.
That was great.
Who is that joke for?
I don't know. I don't know the target for that joke, but it's a good joke.
Like,
it's for me and me alone, Nick, okay? It's just for me.
Oh, my God.
So needless to say, the prince saves the day. Mm-hmm. Comes in with a gun for some reason.
He just flies into the air, not at the wolf.
With a gun. Yeah, Second Amendment.
Right. I don't know why he has a gun, but he has a gun. He shoots.
The only gun laws in Aldovia are pretty loose.
Yep.
Because he just has one. And then nothing after that.
Right. So just shoots the wolf runs away, and then the two of them escape to the hidden winter cabin that
which was
the king
nice
used to
cabin.
Inhabit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like I said, it was a big cabin, which isn't really my thing, but
it's a nice cabin. It was nice and cozy.
I like small cabins, but that's a nice cabin.
It's nice. More of a lodge. More of a lodge.
It's more of a lodge. Yeah, it's more of a lodge than a cabin, but
it's an optimal place to have sex, I would say.
Yes. Yes.
Would you agree?
And they proceeded to they did proceed to not have sex.
That's the thing.
Very upsetting.
Very.
The one thing that this movie was lacking was an over the top sex scene.
We can't,
we
kept saying this throughout. I made the joke. I was like, I would love it if this movie kept this style and this tone, but there was one scene with just the most explicit sex scene imaginable.
Right.
Like something out of like Brazzers.
And then we said Hallmark movie. Brazzers Hallmark movie like that.
That's what we wanted,
right? Yeah. We didn't get it, unfortunately. The two just sort of share a romantic.
Neither did the prince.
Ayo,
up top.
We also kept doing ayo a lot during this movie.
Nick, you missed the best fucking time. you really missed
a
blast.
Ball. So, there was a lot of aos and a lot of yuck 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 yuck. There was a lot of those.
Okay, so this is. My next favorite part of the movie, when all of a sudden it.
I like how it's, he's just describing each scene in sequence and saying, "This is my next favorite part. Oh, yeah. This is my next.
It's all my favorite. This is my favorite movie." So, after the movie is no longer The Gray, it all of a sudden becomes National Treasure. Which is the fucking best. So, the girl is alone in the cabin. The prince goes to, like, fend off from the wolves or something. I don't know.
Fend off.
I think he went to go get more booze.
Well, whatever he was doing. The girl's by herself in the cabin, and she sees the old king's extravagant desk with a massive lever underneath it.
Well, no, she drops the king's journal that had the poem.
Right.
About the acorn that they didn't know was about the acorn.
Right, exactly. So she sees the lever. I don't know for the life of me why the prince never thought to just pull the lever and see what was inside.
Pull the lever, Grunk.
Right.
It's not
wrong
a very
lever.
I mean, that lever wasn't being very discreet.
Exactly.
Well, but you're telling me he never looked under the desk?
Nope, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So, like in National Treasure 2, when Nick Cage opens up the Resolute desk in
why
the
why do you always cite National Treasure 2?
Because it is National Treasure 2.
Yeah.
I know, but I feel like no matter what happens, we're always citing the second one rather than the first one.
Well, because the second one is more things.
Because get this, second one
had a desk.
Better movie than the first one.
Oh, see that? Okay, I disagree with you hard on that.
National Treasure 2! Terrific. Anyway.
Crazy.
No, I love it. It's just not a better movie.
I love my favorite scene is when Nick Cage is running down the staircase pretending to be drunk. And yes. He's like, a British man can't enjoy a little whiskey. Yeah.
By the way, Nick Cage is in Into the Spider-Verse, so we have to see it.
I am well aware that Nick Cage plays Uncle Ben, I believe, right? Who does he play?
Yeah, I think he plays a noir Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's noir Spider-Man.
So what are we doing?
Yo, we need to see that movie as John Mulaney, Spider-Pig.
John Mulaney.
The fact that Spider-Pig is in that, I mean, I gotta see it. I gotta see it.
Getting great reviews, too.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've heard it's good, which bothers me.
It has like a 99 on Rotten Tomatoes or some shit like that.
Big year for Cage, by the way.
Yeah.
Not just on WTAP, but also like Into the Spider-Verse and Mandy, which was like an acclaimed movie. Like, Mandy is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
Good Mandy's
look.
Great.
Good luck for Cage.
I know.
So yeah,
that just means the next like 5 years are gonna be so shit for him.
Yeah. These things come in ebbs and flows.
Well, because he pisses away his money on gambling.
He's gonna do like next two.
Oh god. No, Ghost Rider 3.
Ghost Rider 3.
Yeah.
And that one he shits fire. Instead of pissing fire.
I can't believe he does that anyway.
Anyway. All right, the
Nick,
Resolute desk.
So what's inside the desk, Nick?
Was this the journal?
No.
I don't remember.
Some papers. The folder. The folder.
There's some papers in that desk.
The folder. What's in the folder?
Oh, that's where she gets those. Got it. I missed it.
Hold on. So you're telling me.
Yeah, I'm telling you that.
The turning point of the movie, and you're just like, oh, she has these now.
I didn't. So she finds paperwork proving that the prince was adopted, and they lied to the entire populace of Aldovia for his entire life, as well as to him.
Yes.
Shitty father.
Right. Mm-hmm. And also, you know,
really good father.
Yeah.
No, just
because
shit,
of what happens
father.
At the end, which we'll talk about.
Okay, here's my thing, though. Why didn't he leave the note with the adoption papers?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
why would you not? Whatever.
Because then we don't get them busting a nut.
Yeah, that's a good point. Which made me
also, if he changed the law, don't you have to, like, tell people?
Yeah, generally speaking, yeah.
Well, this was his way of telling people, but
was this? I mean, like,
it was a very ass backwards way of telling people.
They have like a parliament and stuff. Like, the king shouldn't be able to just change. I don't know how their government system is set up, but I feel like the king can't just change the laws, unless
that was my question too.
But see, here's the thing: he was able to change the law, which means that there isn't a parliament.
Or maybe he can just change, like, succession laws and stuff.
But there's clearly a parliament. There's a prime minister.
Exactly. But if the king can change the law, then there is no parliament. That means it's a monarchy.
It's very confusing. The whole political system.
It's very, it's probably it's very
like,
loose.
It's like executive order, you know?
Right. It's exactly like that. Yes. But the Supreme Court can, like, overturn executive orders.
Yeah.
Where's the check and balance on this power?
They don't have a court. They just have dungeons.
Oh, right.
They don't have dungeons.
They don't have dungeons.
They just
but you don't need
tell,
to know that.
They just tell people.
You don't need to know that.
What stupid fucking person in their right mind would believe that they actually have dungeons still?
Yeah, that would go against a lot of human rights violations.
That would be like now being like, okay, if you don't stop, you're going to get thrown in the Tower of London.
It's like, wait, what? Are you guys for real?
So Amber discovers these documents and realizes, oh shit, he's not actually in line of succession for the throne.
She realizes, hey, he's in my league.
Right, or that. That's
technically not a prince anymore.
By the way,
we didn't agree with this.
By the way, not in her league.
Definitely
I just want to point that out.
Way too good
She's not in his league.
Yes, that's what I mean by that. I just want to point out, like,
she's in, like, the parking lot.
Yeah.
And he's in the stadium playing.
He's a fucking prince.
He's so much more better looking than she is.
Yes.
And it's not close.
We're not talking about class, Nick. We're talking about just attractiveness.
Yeah. If I saw them on the street, I would be like, someone's wearing the pants in this relationship. Anyway.
It just goes to show that every relationship has a reacher and a settler.
Yeah, of course. As is the circle of life.
Yeah.
So she calls her father immediately and asks for advice. Oh, no. First she calls her goonie friends. Back at the magazine.
Who also work at the magazine.
Right, who are huddled around the laptop Skyping with her all day. And it's like a dude and a girl, and they're like, oh, yo, this is the biggest scoop. You have to publish this story immediately. The king is adopted, even though, like, you would probably be susceptible to some libel lawsuits.
Yeah.
I would assume, like, this is probably not the best methodology in order to obtain this information. But regardless, they're like, yeah, you got to publish this story. And she's like, oh, I don't know. It's really going to hurt him. And then she calls his father, her father.
No.
What?
You jumped ahead.
I did jump ahead.
What happened?
Yeah.
Why?
So he was going, the coronation was happening. But Sophia and what's his name figured out that he was adopted.
Oh, right. Yeah. They snuck into Amber's room and stole the documents.
Hmm.
And we're like, oh, shit, this is going to blow the thing wide open.
A federal crime.
Yes, definitely true. Federal crime.
They broke into the palace and stole...
No, they're already in the palace, Nick.
Yeah, okay, but they were guests in the palace. They don't live there, so they broke into a room in the palace and stole documents. I mean, that's a crime.
It's pretty bad.
Just saying. They could have thrown that back at them.
Maybe it's not in Aldovia.
Guess what? Amber did the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say...
You're not wrong. She could have thrown that at them. Well, she was invited into a cabin. I mean, and it's a little different.
And just took him.
Under false pretenses.
Yeah. She's known this guy for literally a week, and she's like, should I let him know that his entire life is a lie? Nah, I think I'm going to protect him for his own good. Like, you've known him for 5 days.
Well.
Yeah.
Would you have been that nice to him, Nico?
Well, he's dreamy. Clearly, I would be that nice.
There you go. See?
Especially if I'm her. No question.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. So she does not publish the story, does not make a big fuss about this, but of course the information comes out anyway during the coronation ceremony. They're like, does anybody object to Prince What's-His-Face taking over the throne? And the cousin's like, I object! And they show the adoption papers and say, actually, I should be the one next in line. And he is about to get sworn in. Amber runs back home, is about to get on a flight. Apparently, Aldovia has United.
Has United Airlines.
Yeah, a pretty robust airport over there.
Only the best.
And midway, only the best in Aldovia. And midway through the ceremony, Amber's on the phone with her father and says, oh, I hurt this guy after all, yada, yada, yada. And the dad says, look, hon, it's not really as bad as you think it is. I mean, after all, failure just plants the seed for future success. And she goes,
what did you say? Plant the seed?
Plant the seed. Wait a minute.
And then she pulls out a notebook that she somehow memorized the entire poem from the previous journal, wrote it down.
So fucking stupid.
And evidently, the father wrote a poem describing in detail the acorn
that, well, cryptically.
Right, cryptically, yes, I should say. And the acorn evidently has in it a very important revelation.
Yes.
So Amber leaves the airport, breaks back into the castle, cracks open that nut, and finds a letter signed by the king. A decree, I should say. The king has decided that, after all, my adopted son is my legitimate heir. He should be next in line to the throne. Cousin,
because he's good. Right.
This was during the coronation of the cousin.
Right. Cousin, get the fuck out of here. Good guys.
By the way,
at the end of the day, Parliament breaks out in applause.
Yes, Nick?
Can I just point out one major flaw with this, right?
One.
If the queen didn't want the cousin to be king, all she had to do was not show up.
Exactly.
We kind of talked about that when it was happening. What
yeah,
we're
like, all she had to do was be like, no.
Yeah.
They say the queen has to be present for the coronation of the new king. It's just a rule.
Just don't show up.
So if she just didn't show up, it was Christmas Day, and if they waited till after Christmas Day, they would have had to wait till the next year, right?
Yes, that's what they said.
So she could have just not showed up.
Yeah, exactly.
But we needed some tension in this moment. It needed to be, you know, cinematic.
Shut the fuck up, Adam.
So there you go. Good guys win. And of course, literally a week after this whole ordeal, Amber flies back home to New York. Quit her job, because they're like, this story isn't juicy enough. Even though it's like the craziest fucking
profile I've ever seen. Yeah, even though the story they wanted to publish was boring in comparison to the real story.
It's a fucking amazing profile. It's like the best story. In an era where magazines are dying by the dozen every week, like, this would be enough to employ that entire staff for 2 years.
Like, the only thing I can think of is if, like, who's next in line for the throne of England?
I don't know.
Is it Harry?
Shit.
Harry?
No.
I don't know.
I don't know. But it'd be like if Harry was adopted and then somebody said, wait, no. The queen herself hid this cryptic message in some random journal.
In an acorn.
In an acorn that she gave as a present that said, no, he is the heir. That's a better fucking story than, oh, he was adopted, so he's not the heir anymore.
Right.
Apparently Netflix agreed.
Right.
I mean,
they picked up the article.
Yes.
So she quits the job.
Starts a blog.
Mm-hmm. Starts working with her dad back at the diner. And wouldn't you know it, on New Year's Eve, who shows up in the middle of Manhattan? None other
Prince Harry.
Than King.
Prince Harry.
King Richard.
Can you imagine that cameo?
If all of the princes showed up.
All of the princes. Ooh, it's like, what is it, like The Bachelorette?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would have been a great ending to this. They just have an episode of The Bachelorette.
Well, that's not as good as my favorite reality show, I Want to Marry Harry.
Yes!
But it's not actually Harry.
Where a guy pretends to be Prince Harry and then goes on dates with a bunch of single women who think that he's actually Prince Harry.
Yeah.
Heard of this show?
Was it MTV? No, who did it?
I think it was a Fox show.
Was it Fox?
Oh, my God.
How can that even be a show?
That was a show.
It was a show.
It was a real show.
And all these women were like, yeah, I want to marry Prince Harry.
They stayed in a fake castle. And seriously, didn't look like Prince Harry. The only thing was the hair color.
Yes, about
it,
yeah.
That was it.
And they all bought it. It was amazing.
So stupid.
I love those shows, though. That, like, Joe Millionaire was fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. So, yeah. 2 weeks go by, and all of a sudden, we're talking marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Guy gets down on one knee in the middle of New York, proposes. She says yes. They have known each other for less than 14 days, yet they're about to now get married in royal fashion.
It was a nice ring, as I said.
Most of those days, he did not know who she really was.
No. Right. Barely knows her name. Doesn't know anything else about
her. Did he ever say her name?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, I think Amber by the end of it. I think so.
Mm. We'll see.
So, guys, this was a real treasure.
It was a treat.
This was a tremendous film. This is one of my favorites that we've done in a long time.
Yeah.
And I hope you all feel the same way.
Where does it rank on your list of films of 2017?
Oh, man, it's up there. It's way up there. I think it just passed, like, Blade Runner.
Of course it did. Of course it did.
It's jumped right into the top 10. I can't wait to do the sequel. I highly recommend everybody out there watch this thing. And I think right about now it's time to play a game.
Oh, God. Who could it be?
How many Drew Careys? Royal Family Edition.
How you doing, Nick? How's that?
Well, a little better.
Quite loud.
Yeah.
Let's guess the net worth of Prince Harry, shall we?
Prince Harry?
Yeah.
How about the net worth of Aldovia?
That's a different issue altogether. Prince Harry has been given literally all he will ever need in life. Is he the one married to Meghan Markle, or who's the one married to Meghan Markle?
Ooh. Is he?
I think he's married to...
Yeah.
He's the one that got married last year?
Yeah.
Or who's the other one then? Charles?
Yeah, I think.
And Prince Charles is married to the other chick?
Duchess of something or other.
Is Charles next in line?
Charles might be next in
line.
Might be
Charles.
King Charles. What sounds better, King Charles or King Harry?
Charles.
Charles. Charles.
Definitely. I don't trust a guy named Harry.
unless Charles like throws a wrench and he goes, call me King Charlie.
Okay, now. Where are you, Harry?
Which he can do whatever the fuck he wants. He'll be king.
Fucking asshole.
Whenever the queen finally kicks the bucket.
How weird is that? That you just like, you could be born literally royalty. That's so bizarre. A concept.
It's even more bizarre when you consider that the royal family literally has no power.
Right.
Yes.
Well,
yeah,
that's
we
not
still true. Celebrate them.
At this point, they're just rich.
Yes.
I think by law, they actually have to give their power every year or every so many years.
Well, yeah, so no, they have to. They have to give their power to Parliament.
Right. So they could just.
But that then means that they don't have any power.
Sure. Right, but like every, you know, they renew it every so many years. So when
they renew
like,
their subscription,
I think
of power.
I want to keep that power. Yeah. I think I want that power.
Yeah, power must be nice. All right, what do we think? Here's I think the age old question, and this is what America's dying to know: who's worth more money, Prince Harry or Drew Carey?
Prince Harry or Drew Carey? Oh, that's great.
Now, see, I can't help but think that...
$165 million, by the way.
I can't help but think that this is one of those trick questions where it's like, technically, he's not worth anything, but the family...
Yeah, but he is entitled to some of it.
For what he's entitled to? Yeah, he's got to be worth.
I mean, is this question even available?
I'm sure it is.
Actually,
let me look it up just to verify. I'm gonna guess that he is worth three Drew Careys.
Well,
change your guess then, you idiot.
I was gonna go five Drew Careys.
I'll go four Drew Careys. How about that?
I'll go big or go home and say 10 fucking Drew Careys.
Oh boy! Wow.
You think he's worth $1.6 billion?
Why the fuck not? He's a prince.
Okay, four Drew Careys. That's my number.
I don't know. When did I say five? What does that work out to? That's too high.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
That's too high.
So my number is 660.
So you're saying
million.
Four, I'm saying three, he's saying five, you're saying 10, Nick?
660.
I'm saying $825 million, but that's way too high.
Let's do easy
math. I can't help but think that like he's really not worth all that much, and it's the family that's worth a lot.
Okay, yeah, so I have a number here.
But it's for the family, right?
I have a number here that tells me the net worth of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and... not including stuff that belongs to the crown.
Okay.
So I think that's the answer that we should go with, probably, right? Okay.
Because, like, even... so technically, everything... all the assets of the family belong to the queen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and king. But let's be honest. What does the king actually do? Nothing. That is weird that in the English monarchy...
right now.
It's switched to the queen has all the power and the king is just sort of hanging out.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's weird.
Huh. It's not going to be that way for a long time, though. It's going to switch up.
What even is the king's name? Is it George? I feel like it's George.
He's been dead for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, what was it? Was it King George?
I don't know. Was it another King George?
I think it sounds right.
I actually don't know.
The English like their King Georges.
They like the Georges. Georgie.
The actual net worth of British royalty, Prince Harry.
And Meghan Markle.
Yeah, and Meghan Markle. is a mere $30 million.
Yeah, I told you.
That means I just won.
Yeah.
Wow.
This week's edition of How Many Drew Carries.
That's so dumb.
Larry David is worth more than them.
Dude, they ain't shit. They ain't
way
shit.
More.
Wow.
Shit.
They ain't shit, dude.
See, I'm telling you, it's one of those trick things where it's like he's not worth nearly as much as you think because it's his family's estate who pays for everything.
Shit.
Because he's the royal
family. That's
my
daddy's
royal family.
Money. That's my daddy's money.
Like, yeah, literally Drew Carey blows these fucking guys out of the water.
Yeah.
How amazing is that?
Look up the queen.
What a wonderful
Does it give you an estimate of what the queen is worth?
Yeah, let's see. Let's find out. But again, I don't know if that necessarily counts as her net worth. You know, I think that might just be, that might just be a commodity
owned
by the crown.
Because it's a lot of the wealth and everything comes from just stuff they own. Yes. Like they own all the swans.
Okay.
Like how do you put a price on so it's all of the swans in England? But they own all of the
what
swans.
Mean they own all the swans.
Every swan. I'm not shitting. Every swan in England.
What
is property of the royal family?
What.
Every swan. Yes.
That is fucking
yes.
ridiculous. It's kind of great, though. Swan?
So she's worth $520 million.
Yeah.
So that sounds more like it.
The swans escaped.
That sounds more like a queen right there.
Wow.
She owns all the swans.
All right, there
weird,
you go.
Isn't it?
There you go.
That's a weird fun fact for you.
Huh.
That's a Christmas Prince for you. I hope y'all enjoyed it as much as we did. Please watch the movie on Netflix if you have not done so already. It's a great time.
It's a masterpiece.
It is a really
good
time.
Maybe have a couple drinks first. Get your friends around and just enjoy. And then when they're gone, settle in with some cocoa and watch it a couple more times. Because that's what I might be doing later on in the week. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'll recommend this over a Christmas Story.
Yeah, I think
how?
So.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
That's my favorite Christmas movie, so I'm not going to do that.
It's a real fantastic time. Can't wait to do the sequel. Nick may or may not be in studio. Probably not by next week. But after that, we're going to bank a bunch of episodes with you back in person.
It's going to be great.
So it's going to be a good time.
I got a whole list of garbage for us to get through.
Sweet.
Fantastic.
A slew.
Also, we're probably swapping gifts pretty soon, aren't we?
Oh, Jesus.
I can't buy you guys gifts. I don't have any money.
Okay. Well, that's
just so
you're
aware.
I don't really
have
much money either, so I don't know if I want
to
swap gifts.
Donate to our Patreon so you can buy us gifts.
Nico, get us all gifts.
Okay.
Nico and Nick.
Yes, and that's it. No,
Zach,
no.
you can go to the grocery store and bake us some cupcakes or... I have faith in you.
Yeah, make me
Here's
some,
the issue.
Make me some
you cookies. Know how much money I have?
Make me some cookies.
I have $3.
Oh, let's learn about how poor Zach is now.
$3.
All right.
That's it. That's all I have.
Okay, I'll get you some cookies. How about that? So you can eat tonight, so you don't starve.
Literally can't even get you stuff to make stuff.
I could bake you guys cookies.
I can get you one thing each from the dollar store.
Sounds good to me. That's next week.
Yeah.
So next week, by the way, is our last pre-Christmas show.
Is
and then all of a sudden it's Christmas.
Shit.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Christmas is 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, let's okay. We got
It snuck up. It snuck up even though we had so much time.
Yeah.
Jesus. Wow.
Jesus Christ. All right. Wow. Well,
we have to decide on a day after Christmas movie.
Right.
What?
Yes, that we do. Yeah. All right, we'll work on it after the show. Okay.
All right.
Love you.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Till next time, you've all been so very, very naughty.
No, I don't like how I did. I leave that. That was weird.